So it's always wonderful when the song someone brings illustrates the theme of the talk so beautifully. And Lynn Hollyfield's talk song, Late Summertime, had a line in it that really struck me. She said, "The earth is ready for the cold." I had to take that in. Because sometimes I'm not ready for the cold. But that's a wonderful reminder that something is going right here. That always, that whatever is happening, there is something going right within it. And we can't always see the part that's going right. And dealing with our thoughts and our judgments about things, the way we tend to label things in a dualistic way, good and evil, bad and good, it creates this tension for us. We have resistance to what's going on when we label it bad or negative or wrong. I saw a really, really powerful little segment on Facebook the other day where somebody, Neil deGrasse, somebody, anybody know his whole name?
Neil deGrasse, the guy who does the science
Yeah, he
for
does
the
science stuff,
astronomy.
right. He was talking about the way we tend to make everything black and white, and he said, in school, if you spell cat CAT, it's right, and if you spell it KAT, it's wrong. But if you look in the dictionary, it's actually spelled KAT in terms of its pronunciation. And if you're in school and they mark that wrong, they also mark it wrong if you spell it XYZ. And there are different degrees of wrong. There, what's labeled wrong is actually kind of right in the KAT, and there is definitely something a little bizarre about calling it XYZ. But there we have to learn to think better. And one of my friends said the other day, she didn't know where the quote came from, but she said she had a sign on her wall that says, "Don't believe everything you think." And that's really such a powerful message. And so one of the things that inspires me to do my talks is that I often, when I wake up in the middle of the night or before I go to sleep at night, I often listen to my own meditations. And there's dozens of meditations on my website, so I have a lot to choose from when I go to pick something, and I often pick them at random, and the ones that I randomly pick seem to be exactly the one that I need to prepare the talk on a particular week. And there actually were two this week that inspired me. This is the first one. That talk started with a quote from Science of Mind magazine. The Daily Guide for August 6, 2014, where it was said, "We are weavers of consciousness. We knowingly or unknowingly choose repetitive patterns, textures, and colors that are woven through our mental loom. We continue to think all the time. Our habitual thinking patterns are the strands of consciousness that you and I weave into the garment, the fabric, the pattern of our lives. Is the fabric we are working on twisted and knotted or beautiful?" I guess Judy can relate to that with the knitting. She doesn't create things that are twisted and knotted. She creates things that are beautiful.
Surprised.
But I've seen her rip stuff out. So maybe there gets to be a little twisted and knotted in there somewhere. And that particular imagery, we are weavers of consciousness, really inspires me with the idea that we get to choose the colors and the textures that we're weaving into this picture that turns into our lives, that becomes what we live. The other one that I listened to actually this morning, about 4 o'clock this morning, is called Expanding Dimensions. And it was an evensong meditation from September 18th, last year, September 18th, 2016. And in it, I quoted Gail Renwick's talk at study group this morning. And she said so clearly what this particular talk is about. She said, our lives are created by what we think. And in order to create a new and different experience, we have to think something different. Such a simple way of stating it. Our lives are created by what we think, and in order to create a new and different experience, we have to think something different. And so how do we think something different? One of the suggestions that Abraham Hicks makes is that as we set our intention to feel better, we begin to notice the thoughts that we think that don't feel good. And they say that's part of our emotional guidance system, that when we think thoughts that are different from the way Source thinks, from the way our inner being thinks, we feel bad. So we become more mindful of our thinking when we notice the thoughts that don't feel good. But then you have a thought that doesn't feel good, what do you do with it? And the suggestion that Abraham makes is that what Esther, who is the channeler for Abraham Hicks, what Esther does is say, well, that was an unpleasant thought and an unnecessary thought. What else could I think? Because just labeling it unpleasant doesn't change it. But labeling it unnecessary gives us permission to make another choice. And that's a powerful, powerful thing, because that's where our power is. Our power is in the capacity to choose something else. So I took a mindfulness class this summer, how to be a mindfulness meditation trainer. And what I got out of the class is that I started observing what I was doing and started making choices about asking myself questions. And one of the first questions I came up with when in the mindfulness class we did a yoga exercise that was about stretching. And it inspired me, because I noticed that often when I was doing a mindfulness meditation, what I would notice is where I was tense. And so I stopped just doing still meditations, but when I noticed some tension, I would start to move. And so I would go to sleep at night with the intention of doing a mindfulness meditation. And I would go through the body scan meditation that we learned in class, going through all of these pieces. But when we got to the yoga meditation and it did particular stretches, I realized that some parts of that meditation where I was stretching my back and I was stretching up and stretching my heels down and my hands up when I was lying down, that those were releasing more things when I was putting my knees up and doing pelvic tilts and moving left and right in my hips. That was really releasing a lot in my lower back and my hips, and sometimes arching back, I would feel my shoulders relax and my neck. And so the question I began asking myself when I got into bed was, how could I be a little more comfortable right now? And I've discovered that I ask myself that dozens of times a day now, when I'm sitting in the car, when I'm moving down a hallway, and it almost always results in some kind of stretch or improvement in my posture. I want to do it right now. Yeah. I mean, there's something quite magical about that that question of how could I just be a little more comfortable right here? Because it gets me to move my body just a little bit, and bodies like to move. So that was a really good question. And so then I was noticing other things I was doing, that things that had changed just a little bit because it was summertime were affecting my behavior, and things weren't working as well as they had been in the wintertime. I kept having the wrong set of keys for where I was. I'd be at the church, but I'd have the key for the bowling alley locker and not the key for the church, or vice versa. And so I thought, why don't I have the right keys? All of a sudden, why don't I have the right keys? And I realized that in the wintertime, when I have a jacket, I just automatically put both sets of keys in my pocket because it's really easy to carry around keys in my jacket. But in the summertime, when I don't have a jacket and I have to get my cell phone and my keys and whatever else I need into my pockets of my pants, I don't want to put in both sets of keys. And so I wasn't making the right choice a lot of the time because I was mindlessly picking up the keys that happened to be closest on the counter next to the door, when what I needed to be doing was just asking myself the simple question, what keys do I need for where I'm going? Where am I going? And what keys do I need? If I'm going to stop by the library, I need the little key tag that makes the library thing work, because if I don't have that, I have to take my purse into the library and show them my ID and go through this whole rigmarole rather than do the self-checkout at the library. So it's very simple. If you begin noticing your behavior and asking questions about how I can do this a little better. So the question... The question that I was asking myself this summer a lot was, how can I help my lifeguard friends today? Because we have a wonderful pool in our community, and over the years, I've made several different choices about making friends with the lifeguards. The very first one happened right after our friend Kate Hannigan made her transition, because Kate used to come to the pool with me all the time. And I loved going to the pool with Kate. I loved going anywhere with Kate because she was so much fun. And we always had a good time. And so I was thinking that day when the pool opened, first day the pool opened, I was thinking, oh, I'm going to miss Kate this summer. And I went into the pool and I said hello to the lifeguards, but they were all busy, and I had my pass, so they were happy to let me in. And as I was leaving, I was thinking about Kate again. And I went up to the young lifeguard who was sitting at the table watching the pool. And I said, my name is Connie, what's your name? And she said, Kate. So Kate, that summer, was from Ukraine. And she was adorable. And I made an effort to bring her some watermelon if I had extra watermelon, or just do something for her once in a while. And at the end of the summer, I brought her a bracelet that I had made. I was stringing beads in those days. And I brought her a bracelet, and she said, oh, you're my favorite lady. And that was a lovely thing for her to say, but I realized that I hadn't been that friendly. I had done things for her, but I had never really talked to her or connected with her. I tend to go to the pool and swim laps and then read. Put my feet up. It's a vacation-ish thing. I laze by the pool. And I thought, I never really was friendly to her. And then the following year, there were two lovely young men from Bulgaria. And one of them stayed during the winter. And I heard later that he had committed suicide. And I thought, I could have been friendlier to him. It must be hard to be in a country where you don't really know anybody. And again, I had taken them stuff, you know, food and muffins or whatever on any particular day, but I hadn't really connected with them heart to heart. And then for a couple of years, we didn't have lifeguards from other countries. We had American lifeguards who didn't need anything, who didn't want watermelon, because their families sent them with lots of food when they came to the pool. And I tried to be friendly with them, but they really didn't care. And then this year, we had lifeguards from other countries again. And there were initially three from Turkey and one from Romania who were flowing in and out of the pool on particular days. And I became friends with one from Turkey, and I said, I want to be your friend. I want to help you if you need help, and let me know if there's something you need, and if I can help you, I will. And so he immediately said, I need a ride to Walmart because I need to buy a bike because I don't have any way to get to the pool. So I took him to Walmart, and when I arrived to take him to Walmart, he wasn't alone. One of his other roommates was there who needed a bike. And so I took two young men to Walmart to buy bikes. And that started this relationship. And so a few days later, he said, I came here because I wanted to be better at English. And my roommates are from Turkey, and we speak Turkish all the time. And that doesn't serve my purpose. Can you get me a book that would help me learn to speak English? And our friend Valerie, who's usually here, she teaches English as a second language sometimes. So I asked her what kind of book would be good, and she brought me an English as a second language book to bring to him, and she told me, you know, essentially how to do the lessons. And initially I gave him the book, but he wasn't doing very much with it. And then I offered to do the lessons with him. And not only did he sit with me and do the lessons, but one of the Turkish boys sat with us to do the lessons. So if I explained it in English and he didn't get it, Arzu would explain it in Turkish so that Ferhat would understand what the lesson was. So we made a lot of progress with these things. And we've just had this wonderful summer. They invited me to their house and cooked dinner for me. And several times said that they had made lasagna several times that didn't come out right. So they kept trying till they got it right so they could invite me over. It was so sweet. And I mean, I don't cook, so the fact that somebody cooks for me is like a miracle. And then they took me out to dinner because they wanted to try this Turkish restaurant, and they wanted me to try real Turkish food. So we had lots of adventures together over the summer. And so every day, pretty much, not every single day, but most days, I would say, what do I have that I could share with my friends? And by the end of the summer, they were at different pools on different days, and I would get something wonderful. So I would visit three, one day four pools to take everybody something because I wanted to share with them. And that was just so good. So I was thinking about all of that, and I thought, what is the question I've been asking myself? And I thought, well, I've been asking, who can I help today? And I was getting ready to go bowling, and I was thinking about that question, who can I help today? And I got to the bowling alley a little bit late, and it's just practice, it's not the league in the summertime. And I looked down on my blouse, and there was a hanging thread. And you know, the rule is when you're out in public, don't pull on the thread. Because the button immediately came off right here. And I thought, oh, that's not good. So I'm sitting in the car debating, do I go in and trust that when I'm bowling, my back will be to everybody? I don't have a safety pin, what do I need? Anyway, I was sitting there debating all of that, and I got a text, and it was from our friend Ed Surma. And he said, are you home? And I said, no, I'm at the bowling alley. And he said, oh, never mind. And I said, no, what do you need? And he said, well, my car broke down, and I took it to the car dealer last night, but I need a ride from my house to the car dealer. I said, I'll come get you now. I haven't gone into the bowling alley yet. They haven't got me signed up. So I just stopped somebody that was going in the parking lot and said, tell them I'm not coming. And I went to get Ed. But I thought, wow, what, it's like an instant manifestation. I asked the question, who can I help today? And I was sort of thinking, what am I going to do when all the lifeguards leave and I don't have somebody to run around and do stuff for every day? And so Ed showed me that there's still plenty of people. And so then I was thinking about that question, and I thought, that's a kind of a limited question. And then I thought, I wonder who I might connect with today. That was a better question. And then I thought, I wonder whose life I might light up today. And it was one of the rainy days when swimming was not likely. But I knew my lifeguard friends were sitting bored to tears in the hut with nothing to do on a rainy day. So I went over and I brought them something. I don't remember what it was that day. But I was sitting there chatting with them, and this wonderful little old lady came in. I'm old enough now that I take little old lady personally, but well, I'm a not so little old lady, but this was an older lady. She was probably in her 80s, and she was tiny. You know, she was very tiny, and it was raining, and she was wearing a yellow rain slicker, and she was very agitated. And so she came in, and she was like a fluttery little yellow canary. I loved her. And she was lost. She had taken a wrong turn, and she didn't know where she was, and she was a little disoriented. And it was a path that she usually followed, and she thought she followed it right, and it ended up at the pool, and she didn't know where she was. So she came tearing in, and she's all agitated. And she said, I want to go to Route 7 and Sterling Boulevard. And we said, did you want to go to Sterling Boulevard, or do you want to go to Route 7? You know, from here, it's a different direction to go closest to either of those places. And the boys were trying to tell her how to go, and she was just disoriented, and she couldn't take it in. So I pointed to my yellow car that was parked right outside the door, and I said, you see that yellow car? And she said, yes. And I said, I'll take you to Sterling Boulevard. Just follow me. It's Sterling Boulevard and Church Road. She said, oh, I know Church Road. I turn left on Sterling Boulevard if I'm at Church Road. So I said, cool, just follow me. So she calmed down. She got quietly in her car. I pulled out. She followed me. And there's three lanes at the intersection at Church Road and Sterling Boulevard. And she was going to turn left. I was going to turn right. But I pulled into the right lane, and I hit my brakes so that she passed me. And when she passed me, she was going, waving and smiling and grinning and being all oriented and ready for whatever was next in her drive. And that was so wonderful. And so I definitely felt like I lighted up her life that day. That was a great question. But then the question makes me cry. Who will I love today? Because really, all of these things are my intention to be a loving, giving person. And the other day, I picked up the young man that I know the least of the lifeguards, because we were on our way out to dinner and he wasn't at a pool that day. And he knew how to get to the pools I had to go to that I hadn't been to before. So I picked him up first, and we had some time alone. And I honestly hardly know him. I've seen him a few times. I've sent things home for him. I've told them they had to wait until he got there after work to ride home so that he could have a piece of the pizza. They had to save him a piece of the pizza. But I hardly ever saw him. And he was so sweet, and he said to me, I'm going to miss you. Which really surprised me, because I haven't seen him that much. And he said, I've never known anybody like you before.
Whoa.
And I could hardly breathe, you know. It was such a beautiful compliment that this person that I barely interacted with saw me in that light. That was really powerful. And so I began asking myself, how did this happen? How did I end up in this place where I opened my heart to these young men? And this morning, I was listening to that meditation called Expanding Dimensions. And in it, I said, we become expanded by inviting ourselves to think something different, by taking time to move beyond the limitations of our past thinking to create a life that is unconditional, not the result of previous experiences, but the result of spirit within us. And I offered this affirmation, I am willing to explore a new dimension of loving beyond what previously felt wise or safe. I am willing to explore a new dimension of loving beyond what previously felt wise or safe. And I think, looking back, I think that may have been the idea that was so powerful that changed the way I've interacted with people over the last year. It was September of last year that I did that meditation. And I didn't remember it. I didn't remember what was in it. I didn't remember what inspired it until I listened to it again this morning. But I have been invited to something different. My lifeguard friends from Turkey have invited me to come visit them in Turkey. And when I first thought about that, I was afraid. It didn't feel wise or safe, maybe, to go to Turkey with these young men. And then I had gotten texts on Facebook from Arja's mother thanking me for helping her son and inviting me to come stay with them when I was in Turkey. And Friday night, I took them out to dinner, and her son posted a picture of us all on Facebook at dinner, and he said, this is me with my friends and our American mom. And his mother posted again, we will be very happy if we can host you in Turkey. But what his grandfather said totally blew me away. And it's one of those bad translations, but it's so adorable. His grandfather said, "Well, thanks to us for taking care of our lion." Lion, for taking care of our lion. He is a lion. Arja is an amazing young man. His grandfather said, "Soon we will give you back your room with a view." So I checked on United.com and I can go on Air Turkey for frequent flyer miles. So I think there's something different in my future. I'm going to go beyond what I in the past would have thought was safe or wise, maybe, and go explore this relationship with these American Turkish sons. If I'm the American mom, they're the Turkish sons. And just allow the power of this idea of how much love can there be? How much can I give? And what does it mean to life if I just give what I can each day? If I just share what I have, and it's all giving from the overflow. I was not sacrificing anything for any of what I did this summer. It was just, if there's someone to share with, I can buy a whole watermelon. I can't buy a whole watermelon just for myself, but I can buy a whole watermelon that I can share. And so life, when I share, is much more fun. And I'm really grateful for the power of the ideas that such simple ideas that mindfulness inspired in me over the last few months. One of the things that Abraham Hicks said is, you're going to get so good at being able to feel the dynamics of the thought when it's active within you that you're going to find yourself wanting to feast on thoughts. Feast on thoughts. Beautiful thoughts. Inspiring thoughts. Joyful thoughts. I love feasting on thoughts. So I invite you to spend more time feasting on thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.